Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. Thank you for joining us tonight. We hope to have a fun show. It's been raining for days and days and days, and so we're going to have some fun tonight. But you all know that I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, are my co-hosts Kim and Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are guilty of some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Now, Kim is a beautiful woman as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She will share the secrets that she has heard men utter about love, relationships, and marriage, and she's learned these from being a topless dancer in a gentleman's club. Please remember, this is a call-in show. The call-in number is 646-929-0958. Now, even the best relationships can suffer if two people begin to take each other for granted. Joining us tonight as we discuss these simple ways and not-so-simple ways to ensure that your love life remains alive and well. So please join us and call in. I was just telling Nicole and Kim that Billy Joel and his new wife of 5 years, and we know relationships work in five-year cycles, are their relationships coming to an end. And I'm wondering if they took each other for granted and maybe they could have used this show and got some tips to keep their relationship a little bit alive and not taking each other for granted. Now, Kim, I said she was in a little bit of a wild mood today, so I'm wondering if that will help her figure out. I know right now she's in between relationships.
And she did just go out on a date.
It was a meeting.
It was a meeting.
Date.
It wasn't a date.
Was there candlelight music?
Nope.
Okay. All right, then it was a meeting. If
there
there's candlelight, then that's a date. So do you say, let's just pretend that you are with your man of your dreams.
Yeah.
And we're not going to put a name or who
that
might
be.
We're not going to, but your ideal soulmate who's committed to you and you love, and you've been with him now, let's just say 2 years, and maybe things are getting a little bit taking each other for granted. Is there something you would do to try to revitalize that, or some things you've found worked in your relationship to keep a spark alive?
Well, being that I'm not in a relationship, I don't have any freaking clue at this point. But if and I'm not in a relationship, and I would say, you both have to be on the same page, first of all and foremost. You could try and try and try, and if the other person isn't on the same page, well, I don't really know what to tell you about that, because I can't make somebody else do something. But if it was me...
But you're a very romantic woman. I know
when you
made dinner for all of us, and it was just your friends, and there was no romantic interest there, but you made it a very romantic dinner. There was candlelight. There was nice bottles of wine for those who indulge. There was delicious food that you cooked with love. You had a beautiful dress on. You set a beautiful table. And I thought, you know, that was very romantic. And even just doing something like that for just you and your man.
You know, for me, I love candles. I have candles lit all over my room right now. I will try not to start a fire.
Actually, I think she wants to start a fire. It's the only way that she can get a bunch of firemen to show up at her house. Kim loves firemen.
A fireman. My God. Anyway.
Okay, the Rocky Point Fire Department, if you're
Rocky Point Fire Department, no, cross that off.
It's that you don't have to have a fire to come to Kim's house. She would go.
Anyway.
If there is, just so you know, if there is a fire here, I know it's completely intentional.
But anyway, I would have to say, for me, I like to play, I'm playful, just really, and of course, it always comes down to the sex in me.
Okay, so
for me, it's 90% important in the relationship. I'm sorry, maybe because I
haven't had
some
so long. It's now 99.9% important, and she's absolutely right. So,
but
I mean,
just
again,
to be playful and have some fun and laughter. I mean, I think that that really brings out sexual energy.
Right. So it's fun to laugh in bed. It doesn't. You know, it doesn't always have to be deadly serious when you're in bed with a person. It could be fun. There's sometimes good joking around and laughing and. You know, those are the moments that you almost feel like you're having a sleepover when you were a little kid and you had a sleepover.
Oh, I love sleepovers.
Right?
Although I haven't had one in quite some time.
But you do remember how much fun they were with you when you were a kid and you were talking and telling stories and confessing things and laughing.
I wasn't having sex, though.
And, well, of course, but we're just projecting that, you know, that's the added plus when you're a grown-up. But it is that kind of fun. If you could remember that when you were a child, there was nothing more fun than having a sleepover with a friend. And that's the kind of thing you can keep alive in your marriage or your relationship. I think what's probably the most important thing that couples really do have to sort of have a kind of a date night with each other, you know, where they go out, maybe dancing or, you know, out to dinner or somewhere, you know, karaoke, whatever's fun for people, I don't know, but something that you two do together like a date. So you're sort of out in public and you're, you know, you're kind of enjoying it. And one guy that I was talking to on the phone today, one of my clients, and I asked him what his suggestion would be. And I thought he was a young guy, maybe 22. And he said, well, it's nice to go out with your girl in public, but don't flirt with anybody else. That makes her feel really special. So I thought that was cute coming from a young
man. Well, I can't say I'm not a flirt because I am, but always when I go back to the table, that is the man I truly desire to be with.
Right, and of course. And I just thought coming from a guy, that was kind of cute that he doesn't flirt with anybody else when he takes his girl out, although he says he's a flirt when she's not around. So whatever.
Well, you have to be who you are, too. So
you know, I think doing, like, on the list that I Googled from a site that had some ideas as to what would be good to rekindle your relationship, number two was do fun, pleasurable things together. So you really hit right on there that the experts are writing about, Kim, that, you know, sharing fun and pleasures fosters intimacy. And, you know, sharing good meals, sharing some playtime, jokes, funny movies or romantic movies, outdoor activities, whatever's fun for you. I mean, unfortunately, we've been locked in the rain, so I think maybe we need to have some suggestions for couples who normally might be going out swimming or to the beach or something. They can use this as the cocooning time. Remember in my book we say, you know, you should allow time for cocooning, which is being naked and intimate in bed. So maybe if you can do a little bit more of that during this weather, you might not notice it so bad.
You know, I always
Kim
say,
cocoons
Cindy,
every time she has a boyfriend.
What?
I say Kim cocoons every time she has a boyfriend.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's a fun thing to do.
Every time I have a boyfriend, loads of boyfriends knocking on my door. Anyway.
Well, you know, 99% of men want to get in your pants.
Well, let's correct. There are tons of boyfriends knocking at your door. It's just not soulmate ones. So I think
it's nobody that's getting into my pants.
Okay,
so
whether that means it's a soulmate or not, it's not the right guys.
Well, I think that if people use their imagination, nobody is without imagination, Cindy. People can say, I'm bored. Well, you know, dig deep into your mind and
right.
Really develop your imagination. I mean, I talk to women all the time, you know, everything's so ho-hum, dull, you know. Well, do something crazy, role play, I don't know, go out. And yeah, I can't be too specific. I don't want to give away all my secrets. But,
well, how about, you know.
You have secrets?
Well, how about, you know, dressing up, looking nice. Putting on some romantic music, dancing together or even in the house. Music seems to be a good mood setter, don't you think? The right chosen songs
ignite
the feelings, especially if they're songs that have meaning to you. So I think, you know, putting together romantic songs, it would be important to do. I mean, it's just keeping that romance alive, you know. It just seems like people just start to take each other for granted without meaning to. So, again, you know, those are, you know, kind of fun things. Sometimes, you know, giving a back rub or, you know, the person's tired. How about massaging? How about, you know, a lot of that? Because, you know, if you've had a hard day, there's nothing better than your mate giving you a massage. I think we can all agree on that, or a foot rub or something.
Of course.
Even simple things like someone bringing you coffee in the morning. You're tired and they bring you coffee. I mean, those things, tiny things, but they go a long way to saying, God, this person appreciates me. Or,
you know, if you wake up in the morning and your husband gets up early, make him lunch and put a little Post-it in there.
Right, and that's what we're talking about, making a lunch. Or even if, you know, your mate's running out of the house and needs something, didn't have time to clean up or something, you know, especially men, sometimes they clean, sometimes they don't, but just an effort that, you know, if you come home at the end of the day and you know, you didn't have time to put something away and the person's made an effort to clean up or a little bit, those things really go a long way to warm your heart that, you know, the person took an effort to realize that you were in a hurry and you needed some help, and without even asking, they just did that for you.
Well, I think those are kind of everyday things that people do take for granted. You know, if you go out of your little box, people live in these little boxes, you know, and they don't want to step out of the box. And sometimes they step out of the box and then they retreat because the other person doesn't respond to it.
Right, of course. And
you know, it's like banging your head against the wall.
And don't
keep
and,
doing
and,
it.
And not forgetting to say thank you. Someone's made you a beautiful dinner. You know, Kim, I know, makes delicious dinners, and she's with a guy and she's making these dinners every night. That doesn't mean he doesn't have to say thank you. I think if, you know, she makes efforts, or if I make an effort to make a meal, I like to hear thank you. I don't like to hear someone think that, you know, I have to do this. It's my job. It's my obligation. And when people start taking for granted that you're going to make meals and you're going to do these things, or that all of a sudden it's your chore, your job.
Or how about doing it together?
That's a very...
Have a little fun with it. Do we all remember the movie 9 1/2 Weeks?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you're telling.
They had a little fun in the kitchen. Come on, guys.
Well,
loosen
you know
up.
That's another thing, especially
and girls.
You have to sometimes, if you have children, get rid of the children. I mean, I'm a woman of, you know, an age in which my daughter's grown, and you know, fortunately, that it's quite fun. I don't have to worry where I make love. I can make love anywhere I want to. We don't always have that privilege because we have children, but sometimes then let the kids be watched by somebody else, so you have the house to yourself and you can, you know, have fun in the kitchen if that's what you want to do. And those, are again, you have to be creative. You've got to, you know, it doesn't cost money. You know, I know babysitters are expensive, but if you have a friend, you can exchange, you know, you're watching her kids one time and you watch, you know, her watching yours. Just being creative about how can we get this little time alone. And, you know, I know people that are going on very expensive vacations, my clients, and they're not even, the woman's not even looking forward to it. It's like, oh my God, it's going to be so, I'm going to be stuck with him. And I'm thinking, God, you've got like 2 weeks in a beautiful location like Italy, and you can't figure out a way to have some romance put into your relationship.
That's when you throw all the good lingerie into the bag.
Absolutely.
And your little body oils. And your little toys. But just make sure the, you know, the plain people don't see the toys in the bag.
Yeah, well, they tend to, you know.
Make sure that you remove the battery first.
Right. And
okay. Sounds like this might have happened to me before, but anyway.
Well, it's true now. There's not too much privacy in
no, but I'm not repressed in any way. A lot of people are very repressed, Cindy, and very oppressed and very.
Well, we're the post-Sex and the City generation. I think.
Give it up, girls. Get a vibrator. You'll be happier. Trust me.
I think that, you know, that was the good thing about that show. It got people talking openly about sexuality and the whole thing. And that was probably changed younger generation quite a lot. More so
I think
than
it I think it definitely changed the younger generation a lot, in that I think that they speak more, but I don't think it necessarily changed how they broaden their horizons in their real life. Yeah, they might talk about their love lives more or lack thereof, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they've broadened those horizons. You know, I think that when it comes to keeping a relationship new, it shouldn't, I mean, and this is going to sound wrong, but it shouldn't only be about, you know, getting the romance back into your relationship. Start with getting the fun and the newness back in your relationship, and then the romance is going to follow.
Right, of course it is.
You know, it doesn't always have to be candles and dinner and music. You know what?
Get a water gun.
Get a water gun. Go chase somebody around the house. You know?
Fill up some water, but, you know, some people are a little cranky. They can't handle that.
Well,
but, you know.
Well, you know what? I have an idea. Why don't you, you know, why don't you have your girlfriend or whatever, you know, go out to a bar, meet her out there, and pick her up. Pretend like you're somebody else and pick her up in a bar. And see
just
what
make
happens.
Sure you hurry up so somebody else doesn't pick her up.
Well, that's even a little bit more fun to see that. That's another thing. When you go out in public to a bar or a place with your mate, you can see that other people are finding your mate attractive or whatever. I think that's good to remind you how the rest of the world might be seeing your mate. So, you know, you might be taking this person for granted, but the rest of the world isn't. So, you know, always keep that in mind that, you know, you have to make your that person in your life feel really, really special. Like this is the person in the world you want to be with the most and that you're really proud to be with that person. I think that makes you feel good when somebody's really proud to be with you or and expresses that. So, you know, don't take for granted every moment of your life that, okay, this person's with me, so I don't have to say, boy, I'm really happy that you're in my life. I think we should have to say that at least once a day, how happy we are to have our mate in our life. I think that's a really, 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 really important thing. So, again, those are some of the things that you can kind of put into your, you know, your head, that the little gestures, the little things that you do always, always have a lot of deep meaning. You know, sometimes it's buying flowers, you know, just for no reason.
I buy flowers for myself now, Cindy.
Well, because that's well, you know what? Right now, I will tell you, that's the most important thing. If you don't have a relationship, be a lover to yourself. Buy yourself a little gift.
Oh, I am.
Help some perfume. Well, whatever.
I love myself at least once or twice a day.
Of course, that's meaningful to do, you know. But you can buy yourself a little gift or, you know, some flowers for yourself, like you're saying. I mean, that way, when you do have a lover in your life, you know that you're used to being treated, you know, you're used to giving yourself some things, it's okay. So a little gift giving, it doesn't have to be expensive. I think, you know, probably at least once a day, if not more, you have to tell your person that you're with how much you love this person. I think people like to hear those words. I know I do. Do you like to hear those words?
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, even with my own past marriage, I would have to say, I think that men, and I could be wrong, I could be totally wrong, but I think that men like to do things on such a big scale. You know, like you have to have extravagant vacations or you have to have extravagant lingerie or they're just so caught up on the, it has to be big to be good, but bigger
is
always
better. No,
it
has to be expensive to be good. Diamonds are not very big, but guess what? They're still really
expensive. No, I know, but something so small, I mean, I will give you an example of something that I would do. I could be pretty lavish at times, but even something so small like a boyfriend that I had in the past, the recent past, I would get him something every few days, something so small, like a magazine. I know he liked race cars, so I got him a race car magazine, or once in a while I'd get him a CD, or one time I got him wind chimes and wrote a nice little poem with it. These things aren't extravagant, but they were tokens of my affection.
Right, and again, it's also showing that you know what the person likes. You take interest in what they like. And so, like you're saying, if you're in the store and you see a magazine or, you know, you happen to see a newspaper and there's an article on the cover that something that you were just talking about and the person's interested in, you buy the newspaper and say, look what I saw. You know, and it makes the person know that you're thinking about them, that you realize their interest. Say they like a particular author and a book is coming out and you order it for that and have it for them. Or, you know, they mentioned a book they wanted to read. Whatever little things that people mention, or if it's a special food they like, you know, from a special place and you go out of your way to drive 20 minutes to pick it up and bring it to that person. Those things really have great meaning. They're not,
absolutely.
They're not tremendously hard to do. They're not tremendously expensive. But it's saying, I think about you even when I'm not with you. So
exactly. And I always say it's nice to know that somebody's loving you even when you're not around.
That's right. And, you know, even if you're really, really, really busy during the day and the person knows you're really, really busy, if you take a minute to write an email or a text message, that just is thinking of you or I love you, whatever, it really has meaning. Or if someone, you know, they're having a busy day and they do that for you, you think, wow, in the middle of all their busyness, they still had time to think about me. So those are the things that are small. It doesn't take a lot of money. I mean, this is a bad economy. People don't have, you know, gazillion dollars to spend on frivolous things. So we're not talking about things that are expensive, but we're talking about how about a spontaneous kiss, you know. I find as couples, you know, in the studies they said that the longer people are together, the less they kiss. And that there are couples who are married after like 5 or 6 years, they no longer kiss anymore. They're having sex, but they're not kissing.
That's a damn shame.
That's a damn shame, right, of course. And so, again...
Well, can you just kiss without having the sex?
That's what we're talking about. How about
I could just kiss. I could try that.
How about just a kiss when you know, when the person wants...
You would fail, but you could try.
I could just
And Cindy,
up.
On that note, I'm sorry, on that note, we do have a caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, good evening. How are you today?
Good
Hi,
evening,
Ms. Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
You're always our favorite caller and always our most loyal listener. And I get a lot of emails of people are following you and what's happening to you. And
are they stalking her?
You know that they like her. They like her energy and they like her honesty. And they're, you know, interested in what's happening in her relationship. Carrie, do you have any ideas to keep your romance going? Or
you giving me good? I'm writing all of them, but you guys have so many ideas. So quick.
Well, Carrie, I can't give you all my ideas over the air because I don't want to blow my cover, but you call me and I'll give you even more.
Okay, again, we were mostly talking about simple things like even like holding hands, you know? How about you're walking and suddenly the person grabs your hand and holds your hand? I mean, that's, you know, or puts their arm around you or through you when you're walking. Or opens a door. How about you know how nice it is when a man opens a door? I mean,
I'd love that.
And that's simple. It doesn't cost anything. Or, you know, when it's raining out and whatever, and the person goes and they're opening your car first. I mean, those just be things that men kind of did. I mean, I do it for people. I don't care who's coming into my car. If I'm driving somebody, I always go over to open the door for them first. I just think those gestures, whether it's, you know, for a friend or your lover, have some meaning. You know, it's just, I'm thinking about you and I'm opening the door for you. Carrie, how are things going in your life?
Well, that was very curious what you said about that the guy holding the hand, you know, when they're in the car, they're holding the hand, or when they're on the street, they're walking on the side of the road, you know, they kind of like protect you. That's those these things I told my husband that I liked them, you know, and we had a first issue about that because he don't like to hold the hand, he don't like to walk on the road, and he got more affected because he knew that I like that. He does the little things, you know. And right now, I would like to say that I'm very happy, but I'm content.
You're content. Well, that's good, and that's, you know, one of my clients said to me today that he likes to dedicate songs to his girlfriend on the radio. So, you know, if you have a radio station, listen to, some people listen to Delilah, whatever it is, sometimes you could just do something like that, dedicate a song to the person and make sure they know that you've taken a moment to do that. Those, again, don't cost anything. It takes some time to go online to do that or call into the radio station, but those are little things. Carrie, is there something you're going to do for your husband that might tomorrow that might let him know that you're really trying to work on this marriage? And
it's very curious what the subject from you guys is talking about it tonight because, like, you know, you guys know I have some issues and I thought I was almost having the letter of old high, you know, but it's coming down. And now that you guys are talking about that, I'm really writing down some ideas and I do really want to work in this relationship, you know, in my marriage. And I'm very romantic, and I want my husband to be romantic, not just do sex, you know. I just want some passion and just not even, like he started saying it from the beginning, let's go make higher love, you know. Not necessarily have an intercourse, sex, you know. It's just holding and watching TV and kissing, and that's it, you know.
And cuddling a little bit.
Yeah. Well, now you guys saying, you guys giving me some energy again, and I'm going back again.
Well, that's what it is. It's almost like you have to continually infuse yourself with reminders to be romantic. You know what I'm saying? That's what we cover a similar topic probably every 5 or 6 radio shows, because I try to, again, instill getting in your mind that, you know, 6 weeks has passed, you know, are you still being romantic, or did you go back to, you know, taking each other for granted? And, you know, any relationship that's sort of going into mediocre can be made much more passionate by just some simple things that we're talking about.
Yeah. I was telling Kim about I need you guys, like, twice a week, but I know it's not. But at least once a week, you know, just to get that energy back up, you know. Because when you don't hear that stuff, like, you guys are positive and that energy, I go back to the same, you know. So I kind of, like, wait Thursday to make my change some idea.
Well, Carrie, you can listen to the podcast at any time.
Right, and again, some of the shows, you know, if you go back, there's a lot you miss the first time you hear it, you know, and goes back and enforces it. But again, that's why, you know, our mission is really to have people have a better love life. And, you know, if they don't have a love life now, they're picking up ideas and things that when that person comes into their life, they can start a new relationship on the right foot. Starting it with romance, starting it with lots of loving words and gestures. So that,
you know, Cindy, I have to say, even with my ex-husband, I mean, I was very romantic in the beginning. I was very romantic in the middle. And I need a little more romance. Rich, I need a little more. I would buy him books. books, a whole library of books on 1,001 ways to be romantic. And what he said to me is, you knew I wasn't like this when you met me.
Wow.
So whether he wanted to do it, he just didn't want to do it. You can't make somebody do something they don't want to do.
Again,
so what do you do, Cindy?
But again, I do believe that every person is really, truly romantic. They've just been sort of come from cult, you know, families that it wasn't, they didn't see it. It's something they think they aren't, you know, and, you know, if a person's really got it in their mind they're not romantic, well, then seek out a mate who's not romantic. Why would he have wanted to be with you who is romantic?
I made him feel good.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so then he is romantic. He just doesn't want to do it, but he wants it done to him. So, in other
wants
words,
to be romanced without being the romancer.
Right, but it is, remember.
And then he just sucked all the energy out of me, you know, and then, you know.
Energy vampire.
Energy vampire, and then, you know, I just had no more to give, so. And then that's when it became really, when I stopped doing it and I stopped giving it, it just became pretty dead.
Well, of course. You know, again, there's little things we can always do, and, you know, lips are nice for kissing, but, you know, can you remember, you can kiss someone's fingers or cheeks, their whole body, all over the place, you know. Gentle, tender kisses everywhere is an important thing, you know, and, you know, reinvent the art of kissing and caressing. I think, you know, when you watch a lot of movies nowadays, you know, the sex is kind of hardcore in them, and, you know, in the old
which movies are these? Can you tell me which ones? Because I'll buy them.
But back in, you know, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, the movies were very romantic because they couldn't be graphic. So the love scenes are a little bit more tender kissing and tender. So, you know, I think we've kind of lost that art of tenderness. So if we can get back to that, you know, tender kisses, lingering kisses.
Well, Cindy, my question is, now I come across a lot of gentlemen and ladies, I'm not going to say not, where they say, well, my husband's just not like that. My wife's just, I want that, but they're kind of cold. The only advice I have for them is, you either have to accept them the way they are or move on to something better or something that you desire more. Not that I'm an advocate divorce, because I'm not, but I do believe that people change and people's desires change.
Well, like Kim, at the same time, though, you also have to understand that if you want to be somebody who is loved, then you have to know how to love, you know? So if you want to be romanced, you can't just expect the romance just to come to you. You need to be romantic, you know, and then if it still doesn't come to you, that's when you get to that situation. But most of the people, at least the people that I've spoken to, and especially the women that I've spoken to, good God, ladies, I'm almost ashamed to say that we're part of the same community sometimes, you know. Don't just sit there and expect romance to come. If you want to be romanced, you must be romantic. Done.
Right.
Or at least be physically appealing.
At least.
Right. So, again, it is, say, what you just said, being physically, you know, appealing. Sometimes it's, you know, just taking time to, you know, look nice when the person's going to be near you. Do you know what I mean? Like, so many times after a while, people don't care what they look like when they're near someone they've been with a long time. It's like, oh, I don't care. I think it's taking the time to look your best and to compliment your mate when your mate looks good. You know?
Exactly.
It's nice to hear. Oh, but
you know, I personally always told my ex-husband, you're a really great-looking guy. Did I tell you how great you look? You're so sexy. You're so, I swear you, Cindy. The man never complimented
me. He told you had nice breasts.
That was my biggest compliment. You have a great rack.
And a nice ass, though.
And a nice ass. Woohoo! So romantic.
And again, how about hugging? How about a long, lingering hug? You know, that can be very romantic. And it's not about sex, but it can be something that you feel very close to the person.
Yes.
You know, a hug that lasts a long time, that's a whole body hug. You know the difference. You know how some children, they hug you really quick and it's not much, and other kids just like to hug a long time. We know what a good hug is. So, you know, probably working on the art of hugging is an important thing. I mean, I remember the first time a man really hugged me, and I thought, wow, what a great thing. So I don't know if Nicole agrees with that. Nicole, do you like a great hug?
I love a great hug. I'm a very good hugger.
Okay, so
I like to give hugs and I like to get hugs.
I give hugs all the time.
Yeah.
Right, and those are the kind of things, hugging, kissing. It's also nice if someone likes a particular perfume, or he likes the scent of it, or you like a certain scent of cologne, even when you realize the person's put that on for you. It's a nice thing. So
I love that more than anything. I had a boyfriend that never wore cologne. And I went out and I got a bottle of cologne because I happen to like cologne. And I thought that was the greatest compliment that he put that cologne on, even though he never wore cologne. And to this day, when I smell that cologne, when I go up to the store and spray it on my body, it makes me smile, you know.
Okay, so there we go. So what we're talking about is involving the senses. Think about it, the sense of smell,
exactly.
The touch, the way you look, the way the person looks, talking, that, you know, hearing, saying I love you, whispering it in the ear, I love you. So if someone came up to you that you've been married to for 10 years, and all of a sudden he comes up, gives you a deep hug, he's got the cologne on, he whispers I love you in the ear, kisses your eyes, kiss your cheeks, kiss your mouth, you know, wow. You've got the whole package, and it didn't cost anything. You know, maybe the cologne did, but you can use it a long time. But it's, again, just the whole, it involved all of your senses and drew you in. And so I think that's what sometimes people end up cheating on their mates, just because suddenly there's somebody who smells good and touches them and looks them in the eye. So, again, important to look in the eyes, don't you think, to have someone really, really look you deeply in the eyes?
Oh, yeah.
So,
I can only say it's happened to me once in my entire life.
Right, so maybe you know.
I asked my ex-husband 6 months after doing his own out what color my eyes were, and he had no idea.
Wow. So here, so let's make an ideal.
Know.
Let's make a movie, okay? And we've got this couple together. So, you know, we want to show that he's really into her. So, would we have him looking at her deeply in the eyes? Would that
Absolutely.
Be good?
Absolutely. Could he be wearing, like, a nice, crisp shirt with a nice tie, too?
Right, he's got... Okay.
Could he have breasts and not have a penis?
No.
Okay.
This is mine and Cindy's movie.
Okay, then we'll do it your style next, Nicole. Okay. And, you know, he looks her deeply in the eyes and, you know, a lingering hug. What does she do? Maybe she whispers in his ear or something, and
what could she whisper? What could she possibly
whisper?
You know what I can't say, because That might become X-rated on the show, but go ahead.
But could she just whisper, I miss you, I love you?
Of course.
How about, can't wait till later, whatever it is. She whispers it, or, you know, thank you for...
I want to make love.
All right.
Make love, okay.
Anybody who knows me knows what I like to make love to, and we'll have it at that.
I want to make love to something below your waist in my mouth.
Let's get the sense.
That was very politically correct.
Let's get more of the sense of hearing. Would there be music? What love song might be playing? This is our movie. What might we play?
Kim's better than they'd be moaning.
Oh, stop that. love songs.
We all love love songs. Okay, a love song would be playing and...
Barry White.
Not Barry White. Okay, so here we go.
Keith Urban.
Okay, now we're going to do the lesbian movie. Okay, Nicole, you create this. You see the girl, you know, but you have to have been with this girl for a while. Can't just be a new relationship because they're always romantic.
Yeah, Miss Booty Call.
Say no booty call.
Oh, that was wrong.
Go ahead.
Okay. I will have you know that my booty call and I can be very romantic.
Okay, go on.
All right, so how long have you been with your booty call?
How long have I known her? Mm-hmm. I've known her for about a year, but we only had sex like 3 months ago.
Okay. All right, so let's do it with you and her. How can you be romantic with her when the next booty call?
For the next booty call? Yes. Actually, you know what? She did something that was really, really romantic for me one night. I was like, I was obviously, because I work always, and I had left work to go and see her, to go and hang out, and we were just going to, you know, do the old, let's watch a movie. And, you know, I walked
in Nicole world.
That is so not true. Okay, so basically, like, I went all the way, you know, out to her house and everything. And when I got there, you know, I mean, she basically, because she knows how I feel about cheese plates, because she knows that I love cheese plates. So she literally, I walked in there, and she had, like, little snacks out. And she made, like, a little cheese plate, and she had, like, you know, like, the entire room was filled with candles or whatever. She didn't have on romantic music. She had on, like, my favorite music, though. You know, so it's like there was, like, you know, like, some, like, a little bit of, like, soft rock and everything going on in the background. And, you know.
But it was music you knew you liked, so that's important.
Well, it was music that she knew that I liked, you know, and it happened to be, you know, music that I was into at that particular time. And, you know, so I just basically walked into candlelight and snacks, and then
so
she basically
taste,
lined up. And then she
sight,
lined up
sound,
all of my favorite movies. She had gotten, like, she went to Blockbuster. I don't even know how much she spent, but she rented, like, every single movie I said was one of my favorite movies. And she's like, just pick one, you know. And I did, and, you know, we had a very nice night.
Okay, but you
with
can
sex,
see that meant she took a lot of time. She took time to get
and then
candles.
She,
a light candle.
And then the next morning, she did make me breakfast, and she did pack me a bag for lunch, and she sent
aww,
me on my way.
All right, so there is something very, very thoughtful. And even though this is a fairly new relationship, why can't we do that always? You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Why isn't it only in the beginning when we're trying to lure people in or let them think that we're nice? It has to be something we continue to think of. You know, I think at least in a relationship that's long-term, at least.
Well, you know what, Cindy? Aside from that, I mean, that was like the classic kind of like romantic, you know, type of, you know, candles, food, this or that and everything else. But you know what? One of the most romantic things that anybody has ever done for me was actually when I was, you know, a lot younger. I was still in high school, you know, I was still straight. And my boyfriend at the time, you know, I mean, he knew that I was an artist and he really couldn't draw very well. But he used to work nights, and every single night he had such fun with that copy machine. Every single night that he worked, I came, you know, he would drop by my house, and I would have The New Adventures of Lightning Fast Action Boy. Now, this was a comic book that he drew that consisted of stick figure legs and a circle with a big mouth with huge teeth, you know, with like little dots for eyes. And he used to just draw Lightning Fast Action Boy. That was the name that he gave him. And I would have The New Adventures every single night that he worked. He would just make me a comic book because
that's really sweet.
Even though
again,
he couldn't draw, he just did it, you know. And then like he brought a girlfriend into the picture and he would, you know, incorporate stuff that we had done together and stuff like that. And it was really, really sweet, you know. He didn't have to draw well. It was just the fact that when he was at work, he took the time to do it. And he thought about me, and, you know, he just created something just in his own mind.
Yeah, well, it could be something like that. It could be writing a poem, or if you're not very good at writing, it doesn't, you don't have to be a great writer. Just something in your heart. Well, then copy down the
just
lyrics
the
of
gesture.
A song. copy down the lyrics of a song you just heard on the radio. They said, oh, God, I heard this song. And write down the lines and say, these lines made me think of you. And, you know, we can do things like that. And the more that we do it, the more, at first maybe it feels awkward because you're not used to it. And a lot of people say, well, I don't know, my parents weren't romantic. Well, you know, so break away from your parents' pattern and do something in your own. Become romantic.
You know, for me, Cindy, a card, it is so small. Not a card to say I'm sorry. Not a card to, you know, try to make up. A card just to say I love you.
Right, and that's a simple gesture. It doesn't cost a lot of
money. Inexpensive. You could scrape up change in your pocket most days or on the bottom of your car.
Or on the couch.
And that's what we're talking about, little gestures. I mean, even, you know, one time I was going out with this guy for maybe about a year or so, and, you know, he must have slipped something in my pocket probably a month before because I hadn't worn that jacket in a month. And I was walking, and I was in college, and I was walking on campus, and there was something in my jacket pocket. And I picked it up, and it was a poem he had written to me. And I found it a month later. And I thought how sweet that was, that he just wrote a poem, stuck it in my pocket, and didn't know when I would find it, and never mentioned it during that whole month. And those kind of things, can you just write something sweet and stick it in someone's pocket? You know, these don't take a lot of time. It's, but it's just, every time someone does something small, it makes,
you know, and Cindy, I mean, just to tell people, just because you live with somebody doesn't mean you can't mail them a card.
That's right.
Maybe they go out to the mailbox, you're not home yet, they're not home, and they open this card and like, that is so sweet.
That's
you're not even there yet, and you've set the stage.
That's right, because it's spontaneous, it's unexpected, it's thoughtful. I mean, it takes time to write a card, put a stamp on it, get it to the mailbox, or, you know, even, you know, whatever.
It's effort.
The effort. And another thing I think is public displays of affection. A lot of people don't like to display affection in public, but if, you know, you're out with your, you know, your husband or your lover, and they slip their arm around you or give you a quick kiss or, you know, just, you know, discreetly pat you in a place or whatever, those things, you know, just has a little spark to it. Those are things that you did a lot when you were younger without thinking. You know, as people get older, sometimes they become more inhibited. They think, oh, I can't be doing that.
They become repressed.
They become more repressed.
And ladies, I'm going to interrupt you because we do have another call that wishes to be
sure.
picked up. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. Is this a private show? Can anybody join in?
Anybody can join in.
Okay, good.
And do you have a name or a fake name or any name we can call you by?
Sure.
We'll call you TJ.
Call me Joe.
No, this is Joe. Okay. And this is Joe. Okay. This is not TJ.
Okay.
So, Joe, what would you like to share with us?
Well, I like the topic because on a show that I used to have, my favorite theme of all time was a person has to show appreciation. Well, men have to be shown appreciation by their women in order for the relationship to actually work well. And I'm not talking about men and women. Thinking of ways to try to get together, I'm thinking about what men and women already say to each other or imply with each other, you're mine, I'm yours, and then having women show men appreciation.
And how do we do that, Joe?
I was about to ask you, because you were always talking about how nice little romantic things were being done to you. I was going to ask you whatever, what was it that you may have done, but I'll answer your question first. Anything a woman does that she knows will please her man, which means if he's in the kitchen washing dishes, which may be against the gender role, she can just come up behind him and just pat him on the ass, kiss
him
on the
cheek.
That's
right. It's just a simple, that's exactly it. It's just simple,
mm-hmm.
spontaneous gestures of affection and appreciation. He's doing the dishes. How great is that? I mean, I know today TJ was very sweet. I was running behind and I didn't have time to clean, you know, the dishes were all piled in, I thought. And, you know, by the time I finished doing a tarot card reading on the phone, I came out and the dishes were clean. And, you know, he tried to make the bed, and, of course, he doesn't do a very good job, but that's okay. The gesture was try to help. So
okay, can I share something that I've done? I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to anyway. It was a little extravagant. Joe, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay.
Go ahead. Surprise.
I'm pretty sexual in the sense no man has ever felt like I didn't pay much attention to them in that aspect. But I actually, the particular man that I was with, he liked race cars. Okay, and he had to give up a race car for one reason or another, and I always felt bad about that. I always believe that you should live your dream. And, you know, he never really bought himself a nice watch, and he, I don't need that stuff, and it's not that important to me. And so one day, a month in advance, I rented a sports car, this brand new, spanking new yellow Corvette, and I bought him a very, very beautiful watch. I didn't tell him about it. It took me a month to plan this whole thing out, and I planned a couple other things that we didn't get around to because he had to go back to work the next day. He never knew about that. But anyway, so we went, and I said, oh, I got to pick something up down over here in Uniondale, and I drove up in this yellow Corvette. And the look on his face was priceless to me. And we drove around, and we pretended in this Corvette, and I put a blindfold around his eyes in the morning, and I slipped this beautiful watch on his, you know, on his wrist, something that I wanted him to have, even if he didn't want to have it. And we had the most amazing day. I remember from the moment we woke up till the time we went to bed, the first time he slept over my head. It was just an amazing day. Very romantic, romantic restaurant. We had our little burger out over at Magic's Pub down in West Hampton Beach. It was a great place. And it was fun.
Wow.
Well, you know what? That's probably the most romantic thing I have ever heard a woman do for her man.
But you see, she planned it. She knew what he wanted. So, again, men can be romance. And even in the bedroom, you can, you know, sometimes men say, well, could I do this or would you do that? And, you know, my expression is always, I'll do anything you want. You know, just.
Amen, sister.
You know,
no,
and,
Lord.
And it's just letting a person know, yeah, if that's what you want, if that's what you're in the mood for, what do you want? Let me just, rather than make it like it's a chore, because sometimes when people are, you know, sleeping together for a long time, sometimes it gets to be almost like a chore for women or for the men. I don't know. I've heard it from both people. So.
You know what? F that, Cindy. That's Viagra. You don't even have to be awake.
Just peggle the man. Sure, get yours off and let him just go to sleep. Okay.
That's all.
Yeah.
So, Joe,
smash it up in his mashed potatoes. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
Joe, you
right.
have a wonderful voice. You have a radio show. You had one?
I had one. It was it had so many technical difficulties that I just disbanded it because it was crap.
And what was your show about?
Mainly politics, and secondarily it would be relationships.
Well, because, you know, you're always welcome to call into our show because you have a wonderful energy about it, and we love to hear men's perspective, and we really like when, you know, people call in regularly because our audience does like to hear from the people regularly. And are you in a relationship now, can I ask?
Okay, I'll answer no.
You're not in one?
Yeah, I usually don't give a lot of information about myself because, as I said, my major thrust is politics, and I'm more political.
Well, you can use an alias.
I can use what?
An alias.
So is an alias. Well, anyway, in a relationship, you know, if you've been in a relationship or when you're in a relationship, because you've particularly done some aspects of relationships on your radio show, do you find that it's helped you in your relationship? Are you a romantic guy? Do you?
I'm not a romantic guy. What I am is I don't believe in romance, number one. Because I think romance is the death of a relationship. I believe in the relationship first, and then showing little things afterwards. And that's what I like about this particular show, because in order to have a relationship last, you should show each other on other days besides Valentine's and Christmas and Mother's Day and Father's
Day. Not that Valentine's Day isn't the most important day of love of the year, but go on.
You know, and to show off those days, letting your man and woman know, since I'm a man, me, letting your man know that you appreciate him by little things, but not just doing it once every 2 months, do it once every 2 weeks.
Do it once a week.
I could tell right away that I don't know your name, but I know you always have to be in competition with men, don't you? Yeah.
I always am, Joe.
There you go. Okay, I was right.
But again, Joe, I would go a little bit further to say, and I think you should be doing gestures pretty much every day. I mean, are in love with this person. You love that person. Even if it's just, you know, you took time. You're rushing around. You have barely any time to make something to eat, or the person's hungry. You know, sometimes somebody brings you something from McDonald's that you like. You know, mm-hmm. I happen to like healthy food. So buy me a healthy salad from McDonald's, and I'd be happy.
Yeah, don't get me anything from McDonald's.
Okay, but
as a matter of fact, let me
gesture that you thought of me and brought me something to eat when you know I had a busy day, or I make a special dinner and. You know, the man on my left says, thank you. I mean, these are things that who's ever got the time, because we're busy. Men and women are both working. We're all over our heads doing things.
I agree. You only have a few minutes left. If I can interrupt, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't to top the one who had the nice yellow Corvette, because I've already said this on my show. I know it's going to come up saying, how you thought of this.
Not at all. I might actually use your idea, so
okay.
Go on.
Well, no, you wouldn't be able to use this one. This one is a reverse role of the genders. Here's what I would do if, let's say, for example, I had a relationship and I was out of work. So now she's going to work, we're living together, and she's supporting us basically. If she was working from 9 to 5, I would gladly take on the role of house husband, as it were. And if she's working 9 to 5 and 9 to 6 and 9 to 7, when she would come home, I would have a meal nicely hot and prepared for her. And I would run a bath, not all the time, maybe, once a month, maybe something like that. Because I've always believed that if men, throughout the years, could give their name and their deeds to the house to the women that they married, if the roles were reversed, then the man who is staying home should show appreciation for the woman who is out there bringing home the bacon. So I haven't done it.
Exactly, and that's exactly what we're talking about. In this day and age where it doesn't matter who's doing what, everybody has to step up to the plate a little bit. And, I used to always say, I was going to write a book called If You Only Emptied the Garbage, I'd still be married to you for my husband. It'd be like, I'd come home after working all day, the garbage is overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why couldn't you just empty the garbage? I mean, something, the tiniest, smallest gesture sometimes really have meaning when you're working a hard day and you walk.
You know, Cindy, I have to say, Joe, I've had my ex-husband do exactly what you said. And
cool.
I took it for granted because I was just so mad that I had to go out and support the family anyway that it didn't make a difference to me at that point because we were not on the same page anymore. But I have to say that was wrong of me. I'm gonna say I was absolutely wrong in that. And I did want to tell TJ last week's comment of the textual abuse. I have been totally guilty of textual abuse. I will admit to it, and I do apologize to anybody that I have sexually abused, one person in particular. But you know what? I thought that was the funniest thing, and I have been using that all week.
I know. He's a
No, I have been the victim of Kim's sexual abuse, and I'm going to start a support group. So for anybody else that has ever experienced that, give me a call.
Right. And again, this show is about sharing our ideas. We want both men and women to be open in what they're saying, share what they're learning. I mean, Joe, you're like a very intelligent man. You're so well-spoken. You know, what probably the most, touching thing I've ever heard, a man realizing that sometimes when a woman has to go out and do these things, she can't come home and cook and clean and scrub all the time. You know, she's tired.
But doesn't that reflect the sad state of affairs? If this is the first time that you've heard a man express that, this has to show that in America, the gender divide is really that wide.
And, they're saying that women are still doing most of the housework and still doing everything despite all the changes. And, I find that it is hard because too much does fall onto a woman. And then, I remember when I was married 29 years, there'd be times when my husband would want to have sex, and I happen to like sex, so it's not a chore for me. But I would have worked a 14-hour day, cooked, cleaned, scrubbed, and was really too tired. And if you wanted to have sex, maybe you could have done the dishes. Maybe you could have run the vacuum. Maybe you could have helped my daughter with the homework. Maybe there were some things you could have done so that I wouldn't.
You know what? I wish I had my show so that you could come on, because not only are you supportive of men, but you also have the woman's perspective too. And I would have liked to have heard it, because I would have been the first one to say, all right, give me the real facts, because I don't believe it was all that hard, because nowadays men do work more than women, and I don't, and is this thing that men and women, women have about equality in pay, and I don't, and there have been studies done that show that women don't work as many hours as men, are not in the same
time.
Well,
that's not me. That's not me. I happen to have been the main breadwinner. Actually.
Well, what if I work,
me, but then again,
if
I
work less
money,
hours
no.
and make more money? I mean,
are you going to extend this show, or do you have to leave?
Right, and I happen to be I happen to make very good money, so I could never complain that I did not make
right.
good money.
Okay, let me ask you again, Cindy. Are you going to extend the show, or do you have to leave at the end?
Well, we can extend it a few minutes if you've got some things you'd like to add to us. You know, of course.
Well,
sure,
it's the first time
sure.
I've seen the show, so I mean, I don't know when you're coming on, when you're coming back on again. So
okay,
I'd like
we're
to...
on every Thursday night at 10 o'clock, and we always have.
Oh, no wonder I never see you.
Okay, what time are you? What time you?
Well, my regular shows they're on around 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, so I usually go on them, and I usually act as the de facto co-host. So.
Well, because of course, if you ever wanted any of us to join you on your show, you can just let us know. You can.
Oh, we'll call in.
You can actually
cool.
Email. You know, go to my website, which is www.grantmeahigherlove.com. It's like Steve Winwood's song, "Bring Me a Higher
yeah.
Love," except grantmeahigherlove.com. And you know, if you ever want any of us on your show, just let us know what it is because we'd love to call in and share too. Because
okay, I have to warn you. Okay, let me write this down. Grantmeahigherlove.com. Grantmeahigherlove.com.
And Cindy, in the last 4 minutes, we do have another caller.
Okay, let's pick up and see what we have. The other person has to say. Thank you, Joe, so much. We enjoyed
thank
you.
Thank you, Joe.
Again.
Yeah, you want me to hang up or can
no,
I? Just
no,
hang?
You can.
And you know what, Joe? You still seem very romantic, even if you say you're not.
I'm not, but thanks. I guess.
Okay, we have another caller, Nicole.
We do.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Great.
How are you?
And who are you?
I'm Shannon. I'm doing okay. How do I say this? I am having some marital issues. Not generally of my choice. Not of my choice at all, really. Would like to get a resolution on taking care of it.
Okay.
I really do love my husband very much.
Can you try to fight for your marriage? Is there any way you can do that? Do you tell him how you feel?
Absolutely.
And how long have you been married, by the way?
8 years.
Okay.
On our anniversary, he did not call. And he went and bought somebody else $70 worth of flowers.
Oh. Okay. That stings and that hurts. And
yes.
At this point... has he made it clear he doesn't want to work on the marriage?
Right now he doesn't want to, but he wants to work on himself right now. But he doesn't want to lose me forever.
Oh, the commitment phobia. One
way.
Foot in one relationship and one foot out the door.
I don't want you, but I don't want anybody else to want you.
Yeah.
Well, he also stated, well, it wouldn't bother me if you were with somebody else. Well, you know, yeah, it would, and I know that. And he said part of him loves mm-hmm. me. He's in a mind-heart battle with himself right now.
Again.
And I said, whoa, wait a second. I'm not, and he knows that I value my marriage way too much to even do anything like that.
Well, again, sometimes you're an old soul. I can tell you've had many lifetimes. Old souls have a fatal flaw. Sometimes they're loyal to a fault. At this point, you're being loyal to a man who doesn't necessarily deserve your loyalty. And, you know, it looks as if he knows he can do what he wants and you're going to stay. Are you still living with him?
No, I put my foot down.
Okay, good. That's
I told him that he has to make a choice. He either wants me or the kids. Or he doesn't, and if he doesn't, then I need to do what I need to do for me.
Well, Shannon, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why would it be you and the kids? Can't he be with the kids if you're not around?
Because he is not being with the kids either.
Oh.
Yes. Something happened. Something triggered this emotional something going on, and he is suffering. Really, really, really bad. He's going through something right now.
Again, then, it's you trying to be, I guess, patient and see what he's going to do. But it was important that you did sort of move out or not be living with him anymore, because this way he's going to know he's going to lose you if he doesn't. I mean, it's not good to show your children that, you know, a man can kind of do whatever he wants, and a woman takes that. That's historically what women have had to do because they couldn't support themselves, and they allowed men to be abusive. I will tell you a little soundbite that was channeled to me from heaven, and it's pretty much this. No more excuses, you're being abusive. Whatever your husband's going through, he's being abusive to you.
Cindy, hold on there just a second. For those who are listening right now, we have about 10 seconds left. We are not going to cut the show. Please tune into the podcast that will be available on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow, and then you can hear the resolve that we get with Shannon. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Okay,
Nicole.
Shannon, you are no longer live on the air. Continue.
They will be able to hear it tomorrow.
With the emotional abuse is what he would be doing, because emotionally it's tearing me apart, everything that he's done.
And again, it's you having enough self-esteem to have taken yourself out of an abusive relationship. Because once people are abusive to us, either physically, emotionally, spiritually, or psychologically, they've broken a vow and all contracts are off, soul-wise
yes.
In marriages. And I think he's going to learn that he may be going through his issues, but he could have also joined forces with you and talked from his heart what was going on and shared what he's going with you, rather than seek solace or seek the answer in someone else's arms. I mean,
well, Shannon, my question
he definitely didn't do that, and he did take off and was trying to have a life with somebody else, and now it's just, well, I have to find myself. I'm going to work on me, but working on him doesn't consist of anything but going to a bar. Well, that's not
working on himself. That's going through a midlife crisis, perhaps an early one maybe, but in which he wants to go back to being a boy and not be a man. He's got children. He's got a family.
And he's not even doing anything with them. And you know, if they need new shoes or anything, I don't have the money. But yet he has the money to go and buy friends who are pregnant with other people's babies, $70 worth of flowers.
Well,
so,
Shannon, this doesn't really sound like the ideal man that I would want to be with.
Well, he was never like this before. This just, like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came up. I mean, honestly, he was not.
You know,
like,
sometimes
this.
People go through these crises in which they have to become a parent that they didn't like with his father, man who abandoned him.
Yeah.
Okay, because this is what's going on there. I mean, the patterns are so apparent. He thought he would never be like his father. He judged his father very harshly and thought, well, if I were a father, I'd never abandon my children. I'd never drink. I'd never do this. I'd never do that. Well, lo and behold, he's becoming his father. And until
Can I tell you a little bit of my experience, Shannon?
Mm-hmm.
My ex-husband was going through the same thing type thing. I mean, because he couldn't let go of the matter. And he figured, well, I want to divorce him so he doesn't have to be a part of our lives. So I said to myself, okay, I teach my children love every day. I tell them that their father loves them, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't. And I show them happiness. I can't show them despair. I can't show them that I'm weak, that I can't do it on my own. Yeah, do they know, you know, they can't have everything they used to? Sure, but you know what? They don't see me stress about it. And I say, well, Daddy has to go take care of himself. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you.
Okay, well, 3 months is enough, okay?
I know.
Right.
If you haven't found yourself now, you're not going to find yourself.
Oh,
there
sometimes it takes a lot longer than 3 months.
Right. I mean, sometimes, and basically what it is, you know, you really stood up for yourself and showed that this is not acceptable behavior. But I will tell you, until he forgives his father, he will abandon his children. He will do exactly what his father did and maybe worse, because he's been judgmental, and that's how God teaches us. You know, it's a lot harder to scratch a living out of the earth than we thought. It's a lot harder to make a marriage work.
Or he can have an epiphany and things can change. You know?
Right,
I told him that he has until Saturday at 3 o'clock to give me his answer, and if he doesn't, then I will have to do whatever I have to do. If he doesn't answer me, I'll take it as a no, and that's the way it was.
And what will you be filing for divorce, or what will that mean to him?
Yes. And he doesn't want to do that.
And again,
well, Shannon, I'm going to have to tell you that
most divorce attorneys aren't there on Saturday, but go on.
No, well,
I understand that.
but that's like her deadline for him to make a decision. It's not means that she can go to the lawyer that day. It's just her deadline for him to make a decision. Honestly, Shannon, I think that you're doing, you know, the right thing. If he is going through whatever he's going through and you want to say enough is enough, then the only thing that I could say, that I could possibly tell you is that you need to do, just like you're giving him his time to do what makes him happy, you need to do what's going to make you happy. And if he's not going to be the man that's going to be that light in your life, if he's too busy worrying about himself and not about his family, and he does not want to show you the appreciation that he probably should be, then you know what? Then maybe this man, regardless of all the love that you might have for him, just isn't the one for you, and that somebody else will come along that will be that light in your life.
Absolutely. And I
and remember, divorces never, ever have to be permanent. If
Absolutely.
This is the man for you, and in a year he's gotten all healthy and everything, nothing says that this is not something that can be, you know, a relationship again. No divorce ever has to be permanent,
and
I must stress that.
What I said was, if we work on it, that we're going to go to counseling, you know, there because he's suffering emotionally. And it's like, you need it for you.
Right.
You know,
and that you're learning some important things about yourself and what you need and what you will tolerate and not tolerate. And, you know.
Well, I won't tolerate the as a woman and a wife, what he's doing is extremely disrespectful. It's cool. I won't put up with it.
And see, that
there's no way.
Self-esteem. And, you know, if you get a chance to go to the website, my website, www.grantmeahigherlove.com, there's a lot of tips and there's a lot of stuff about relationships and on the website that could probably be helpful to you. And if you listen to some of our other podcasts, we have a lot of information that we've tackled a lot of these issues in other radio shows that you might want to listen to, because we really do, you know, support you. And I'm a firm believer in divorce without drama and trauma. So if you could make it, you don't have to hate somebody to leave them, and try not to bring it to hatred would be a really good thing for your children and, you know, for yourself. But again,
does spirit,
you know,
say anything about him in the relationship or anything?
Does who, what?
Does the spirit say anything about him?
Basically that he's got to grow up and he's got to deal with his issues, and that, you know, he may or may not be capable of being the man you want to, and that's something that you need to kind of deal with. But you are giving him some time and space, and
yeah, because I said I didn't want him to call or talk to me until Saturday.
Well, you
that
need
way he
to
had
pray,
time to
say a prayer that you want to do what's best for everyone, including yourself. And pray for a soulmate who's ready and willing, able to love and commit to you, and whether it's your husband or another man will be determined. You know, you're only responsible for your behavior, and your behavior seems to be, you know, something that you can be proud of, and that you're showing your children something very important, that marriage will not last unless two people love each other, heart, soul, mind, and body, and commit to it. And this man's heart and soul, mind, and body seem to be elsewhere at this point.
Yeah, where the heck is that?
and again, you know, you'll see in the future what's happening. And, you know, if you call into our show regularly with your questions, and if you, you know, stand firm in your beliefs, let's hope you will have a great love, whether it's your husband or somebody else. Because we do have more than one soulmate, thank God. Because if they mess it up, then it's not... Your behavior has been that of soulmate love, and also the fact that you're not tolerating this abuse. So many women hide their head in the sand.
I'm proud of you, Shannon.
You know,
absolutely.
And they don't.
I'm not
know
going
better.
To tolerate it. No way. No, because you know all it
well,
does.
You know what? You're a step ahead of a lot of other women, though.
It's a big step ahead.
But it creates, all it does is create a vicious circle that never ends. And I'm
yeah.
not going to have
But Shannon,
my
question is,
way.
If he did come back to you, would you be able to trust him again ever?
That's a good question, because he said, do you trust me? I'm like, hell no, I don't trust you. Why should I?
And
I mean,
you
got to
ask yourself
me?
If that's the relationship you want to live in, one without trust.
Well, again, if he,
no.
if he learns and he grows and he becomes a person whose actions and words and deeds can be trusted, then, of course, she can cross that bridge at the time.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not going to certainly have all the answers immediately, but he may find out that when push comes to shove and he realizes that you really are going through with the divorce, that may be the biggest wake-up call, because I don't, did his parents get a divorce or no?
His parents were never married, but he had a stepmom that was extremely emotionally abusive, and his dad is, oh, you want to talk about jerks. We're not going there. His dad is.
Well, he's being
yeah.
kind of being his dad at this point, so.
You know what? So, and he said that he hates life, and he's afraid that he's acting like his dad, and he doesn't want to. And he said he doesn't, he goes, I don't understand. He goes, I messed up in the head, and I know that I'm going to lose the best thing ever, but I can't stop.
Like, well, Shannon, you know what? I did hear something actually today. It's something that men call the 80-20 rule. And basically that means is that, you know, when they are in a relationship, that at any given time, 80% of their needs are met by their wife, okay? And that there is 20% that is still lingering out there, okay? So what a lot of men do is that they go and search for that other 20, you know? And then what they do is that when, instead of finding that 20 and that 20 really being 100%, they find the 20, the wife goes on to be happy with someone else, and guess what? Then they're left there with just 20%. And they're lacking the 80% after that.
And that is, in fact, the best revenge.
Absolutely. So you know what? If he's not going to be your 100%, then you deserve 100% of somebody.
Absolutely.
And you're a step ahead of a lot of women out there, because so many women do not have the courage to stand up for themselves and say, you know what, I will not be treated like this, and it is not okay for you to treat me like this. And it's really, really a very admirable thing that you're doing by standing on your own 2 feet and by having the courage to say, you know what, I'm worth more and I deserve more love than you're giving me.
And that's, you know, you can be proud of that. And again, he is reliving his parents, a lot of his parents' mess, and so he forgives them. He's going to be them. And he's going to lose the best thing he ever had. And the fact that he knows that is at least a step in the right direction, because some people don't even realize that.
Yes, but he isn't stopping.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's hard to stop because we don't understand why we're doing it. So, again, you're responsible for your behavior. You've made some guidelines for him that showing that you will not be abused, and that's the best thing. And, you know, hopefully you'll keep calling into the show and letting us know, like Harry does. We have people that call in and let us know how their marriages are going or what's going on with this. But just pray for, you know, to do what's best for everyone, including yourself. Pray for that soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to commit. Don't put a name on it. Don't put a label on it. We don't know if it's your husband or another man. But your behavior is showing that you deserve a soulmate love, someone who's willing to commit. And, you know, relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. You're at the 8-year mark. Let's hope by the time, you know, the year is up, you're
well, we've been together for 13.
All right, so you've
and he always said that he would be there for our oldest son, which is his stepson, and he said, well, he doesn't listen to me, so I'm done with it. I'm way. You made a commitment and an oath. You can't just not do that. That's your responsibility.
You have no control over anybody else's behavior, Shannon, only your own. So you be there, the best parent that you could be to your children. Only.
I always am. Always have
That's
been.
It.
They are my
That's
life.
That's the bottom line.
I won't allow them to go through this either.
Yeah, you can't make him be a better father, but the only thing that you can do where the children are concerned is just continue to walk the path that you're walking as far as your involvement and your expression of love in your kids' lives. And when they, you know, grow up, you know, and they actually become adults, you know, there's a certain point where no matter what happens in your childhood, well, you need to take responsibility for your adulthood. Apparently, this is what your husband is going through. And you know what? Your kids will know what a good parent is, and your kids will know what true love is because they would have seen it and they would have learned it from you.
Right, and the soulmate that you're going to be with. So, again, you know, we are only responsible for our behavior. We do have to get over it. Over the age of 25, God doesn't care who your mother or father was, but he's who you are. And he's a parent, and he's letting down his children the way he was let down. And sometimes that's what people have to do. They have to go through the whole cycle. And unfortunately, he may lose more than he wants to lose. But, again, that will be his choice and not yours.
All right.
Well, anyway, I think we're going to close up the show for tonight. And
okay.
Please call in
thank
again.
You, Shannon.
And Kim and Nicole, thanks for your insights with Shannon and with Joe. I mean, you guys were just great tonight. And I think
I do have a little shout-out.
Sure.
So my new friend, Ken, he is in actually Paris tonight.
Wow. What a romantic city.
Job.
We all should be
yes,
there.
I know. And I wanted to say
it
was
raining in Paris.
I hope he's not making love in the rain at this point. But anyway, I had a nice meeting with you, and I look forward to seeing it again. And to my other magician friend, a dollar and a dream, baby. Unfortunately, you know, that is a lottery. And Dan Dillon, thank you so much for dinner.
Wow.
Thank you. And you know what? I have a shout-out. Shannon, thank you very much for calling in tonight. And I do hope that you keep us, you know, abreast of all of your progress with this situation that you're having. And it's nice to know that there are people out there that are listening that actually want feedback and that are interested in what we have to say. So thank you very much, Shannon.
And Shannon, I think you are going to be a great power of example.
And that's true. And our prayers will be with you. And, you know, Godspeed in your journey toward a higher love. And the universe will reward you for all of your efforts.
I love you all.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.